Well, good afternoon. You're in Beyond the Hospital. Antibiotic resistance is a problem in the community environment. We've got some great speakers today addressing both the science and the policy dimensions of this issue, and I think it should be interesting. I'm going to just give a few minutes of comments at the beginning to frame the discussion, and then I'm going to introduce the other panelists. I am a physician at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, and we work locally to globally to ensure fair, healthy, sustainable food, farm, and trade systems. It's in Minneapolis, and I also work with a coalition of other groups on something called Keep Antibiotics Working, which you're going to hear more about, as well as Healthy Food Action. I want to just acknowledge some of my partners in these coalitions. There's my disclosure statement. So just to frame this, why is my talk subtitled The Tsunami of Resistance Coming Down the Road? And I want to just make a couple of nods to what many experts, some of whom you're going to hear from today, but including the WHO Director General, has said is likely a coming problem where many infections will no longer have a cure. And this is just going to be such a sea change in how, in the comfort level that we've come to have around treating bacterial infections. And I don't think we can understate the importance of that. My colleague, Jim Johnson, who's an infectious disease doctor at the VA Medical Center and a clinician, I thought this was appropriate since it is Halloween, although this is not a happy message, but we're seeing more and more human costs of these resistant infections, bacterial infections. And so he's got these slides of his patients who are both severely impacted or died from either MRSA, and increasingly extra intestinal E. coli infections. And these are a huge problem in the hospital setting, and what you may hear in this presentation, but I think you're also going to see it in the literature in the coming months, is that more and more science is linking these septicemia infections, extreme urinary tract infections, actually coming off the farm and being in the contaminated food supply. So they weren't previously thought of as foodborne infections. They were thought of as fairly benign E. coli strains, but now they've gotten a lot more virulent. So one of the ways I think to frame this up is and apologies for the title there, but what drives the occurrence of antimicrobial or antibiotic resistance? And I think from Darwin, we had a couple very simple insights and around the phenomena of natural selection. And so it's difficult to escape the idea that when you boil it out all down, that antibiotic or antimicrobial use is a major driver, and that helps to produce reservoirs of resistance in our broader environment. And Dr. Silberdeld's going to talk a lot more about this. So some have said basically this makes antimicrobial resistance an ecological phenomena, and Stuart Levy at Tufts has said that we exist in their world, the bacterial world, not them in ours, which I kind of like. So we're going to hear later from Dr. Shore, who works for the only microbiologist in Congress, about the most recent data from 2010. This is actually 2009 data that office requested. But most people aren't aware that 80% of all the antimicrobials, for whatever reason, used in this country, and this includes human usage, 80% are actually used in agriculture for animals, not to protect humans. And so the comparison with human use looks something like that. So if you take that Darwinian model of natural selection and you believe, as microbiologists tell us, that use helps to drive resistance, this seems to give us our marching orders for why we ought to be concerned with this issue. And then there's huge variation across countries. So this actually compares usage data in agriculture across many of the OECD countries and from Norway to the Netherlands. But what you can't see is that if the U.S. bar were up there, it would be to the left of the Netherlands and much, much, much higher. And you can see that a lot of the antimicrobials used in animals are exactly the same as ones used in people. So, as I said, this is helping to link new infections to the farm environment. And I think it leads to the conclusion that this is not really a science issue. There's pretty much consensus that this is a problem and it's affecting the human population, but really it's become a science policy problem of how are we going to act to reduce use, and are we going to act in terms of public health, or is this just going to be a straight political battle? And I think I'll end on one point, and that is that like clean water and clean air and police force, I think that the effectiveness of our arsenal or toolbox of antibiotics for treating sick people is really a common good. And so what we're talking about here, in my opinion, is an erosion of a public good or a common good that benefits all of us through these overuses of antibiotics in the agriculture environment and other uses we're going to hear about from Dr. Halden that benefit a few. So let me just talk a little bit about our other speakers. Dr. Silbergeld is known to many of you. She's an environmental engineer and toxicologist by training with a PhD in environmental engineering from Johns Hopkins University, where she holds different appointments in epidemiology, environmental health sciences, health policy, and management. I've actually uploaded the bios to save time through the web that APHA has, so you can all go and read the full bios there, as well as download the abstracts. Dr. Silbergeld has a variety of distinctions. Among them, she's editor-in-chief of environmental research and serves in the editorial board of numerous journals. She's also gotten the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Society of Toxicology, the Barsky Award from APHA, and a MacArthur Genius Award, which are her words, but that's what we all call them now. Dr. Rolf Halden, PhD, PE, is a professor of environmental engineering at Arizona State University in their Biodesign Institute, and also an adjunct faculty at the Johns Hopkins Department of Environmental Health Sciences. And his work has looked at the fate of and risks posed by antimicrobials in the environment. And he's told me that he's leaving after tomorrow, speaking at the DOD on some of his research as well. So he talks to a lot of different fora. And then we have, after the two more science-oriented talks, we have two scientists who work in the policy realm. Kathy Dolan is a public policy analyst with Food and Water Watch, a national consumer advocacy group based here in D.C., and her work focuses on the impact of chemical pollutants, including triclosan, on our food and water systems. And she has a BA as well as a MHS in health policy from Johns Hopkins. So we have a very heavy Johns Hopkins list of speakers today. And then lastly, Carolyn Shore is a microbiologist and PhD, and currently an ASM, or American Society for Microbiology fellow, science fellow on Capitol Hill in the office of Representative Louise Slaughter, the only microbiologist in Congress, where she works in the PAMTA, the Preservation of Antibiotics for Medical Treatment Act, And she recently left a postdoc position at the University of Iowa, Carter College of Medicine. Her PhD is in microbiology and molecular genetics from Harvard University. So without further ado,